We'd like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be back again. It's been a while, Marty, since we've been on, so we hope to have a good program.
Well, Bill, we've been covering the life of Martin Luther, and today we come to the very great matter of the recovery of justification by faith. And we know that when we speak of the word recovery, it's to recover the matters that have been lost. And mainly when we talk about these matters, we're talking about the truths. And Martin Luther, of course, was a very unique vessel that was chosen and prepared by the Lord. And he came, you could say, at the darkest hour of the night. And he came to begin to speak out and penetrate this darkness by beginning to release the light of the truth. And no doubt he was really prepared by the Lord. And he began to call people back to the Bible and come back into a direct relationship with the Lord himself. And of course, I think we mentioned last time in our recording that Martin Luther, he really stood firm in the face of all the persecution. And he stood alone during those hours of trial when he had to stand at the Diet of Worms there in before the cardinals and the princes. And he very effectively ushered in the Reformation by beginning to speak forth the truth. And you'd have to say this was truly the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord really honored Luther to be the torchbearer, the one through whom the light could be upheld at this dark time. No doubt his predecessors like Wycliffe and Huss, they also were very faithful servants at the time right before the Reformation. They also, like Luther, were willing to risk all for the Lord's sake and really begin to release the truth. So this is, today we're coming to this very great matter of the recovery of this crucial truth, the matter of justification by faith.
Luther, no doubt, was a giant as far as the Lord's recovery is concerned, recovering this major truth of justification by faith. It's almost like he stood up single-handedly and challenged the entire Roman Catholic Church. And even he had impact on the Roman Empire and the secular realm. He even declared that, he said, if what I preach is contrary to this Bible, I'm willing to die. But if what I preach is according to the Bible, then he said, no one can kill me. That means he didn't even care for his own life, like Paul there in Acts chapter 20, speaking to those elders there in Ephesus in Miletus. He said he didn't even care for his own life. So really, Paul, or I should say Luther, had the same kind of attitude as Paul did, right, that he was willing to be martyred for the Lord. He didn't care. God really opened his eyes and began to show him things in the Bible that no one had seen before and that the Roman Catholic Church had locked up for centuries. In a sense, you could say he really spoke about three key matters. In a sense, if you know a little bit about, you know, if our listeners know a little bit about Latin, one of them Luther was trumpeting was sola fide, which in Latin means faith alone. Nothing else will work but only faith. Another one of his trumpets was grace alone, which in Latin is called sola gratia. Then thirdly, maybe his most famous trumpet was that the scriptures alone, which in Latin is sola scriptura.
Well, these three key matters were really the foundation of the truth for the matter of justification by faith. And the Lord had really opened Luther's eyes as he prayed and came to the study of the scriptures. And he began to see that salvation, of course, was not by works, but by faith alone. And he stood on the word, like in Romans 3:28, he began to realize that man is justified by faith, and this is apart from the works of the law. So, of course, others, you have to say, maybe saw this to some extent prior to Luther, But we have to say Luther realized this and spoke of it in a much stronger way than his predecessors. And we know based on his experience, he passed through many sufferings and many deprivations and afflictions himself in his own endeavor to gain God's approval and relieve his own conscience. But now he was beginning to really see that to be justified is to have Christ as your righteousness. Of course, Luther's maybe his most or his favorite book in the Bible became Galatians. And as he was studying that book and preparing for his lectures on the book of Galatians, he became more clear that man is not justified out of the works of law, but it's really through the faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's a very, very great matter, huh, Bill?
That's really so. You're talking about the book of Galatians, Marty. We all know Luther's favorite book was not James. He called that a book of straw. He was not happy with that book, but he really loved the book of Galatians, because in that book of Galatians, the divine revelation makes it clear that man is not justified by what he does. He cannot earn his salvation. He cannot work for his salvation. He cannot merit salvation. Salvation is a matter of faith alone. You receive it. You don't do anything for it. Justification is by faith. We are not approved by God by any way that we can do something to be accepted or approved by God. So Luther really delved into this book of Galatians to really begin to realize, you know, that Christ, whom God the Father has raised from the dead, Luther said, is our righteousness and our victory. It's not what we can do, it's what he has done for us. And, of course, righteousness is just a living person of Christ. We are not righteous. We don't have righteousness. We don't get righteousness. Even in a sense, we could say we don't get the righteousness of Christ. We get Christ as our righteousness. And even in our, of course, generation, in the under the rich ministry of Brother Lee even was used, right? And he helped us to see, and he was very clear, and he helped us get into the truth, and he defined justification in this way. He said that justification, I remember it came out on the Romans, you know, training in 1974. He said God's action, justification is just God's action where he approves us. He approves us according to his standard of righteousness. How can God do that, approve us? Unrighteous, sinful, condemned sinners, because he can do that on the basis of the redemption of Christ. And Luther, in his commentary, again on Galatians, said, Christ, whom God the Father has raised from the dead, is our righteousness and our victory.
Well, Bill, you have to say Luther really came a long way from his former days as a striving monk. And he was definitely realizing that grace and righteousness were God's gift to him. And he saw that the grace of God came to him through faith alone. And like you mentioned, it was not anything of his own works. He didn't gain it by his fasting or by doing penance. And he realized it's not by giving of money or the indulgences or by repeating any prayers or even going through the Catholic sacraments. And so Luther, he was persuaded that man was unable to save himself. And he even came to the point where he said man's good works were just sin and had nothing to do with salvation. So he said it's not by the merits of our own works, but it's by grace alone that one is saved. So this is a very great truth that Martin Luther was fighting for. And here's a little quote by Witness Lee. He said, God's intention at Luther's time was to recover his son, Jesus Christ, as our righteousness. So this has to be more than a doctrine. You know, it really focuses on the person. If we have Christ, then we have righteousness. And Luther, you have to say, was beginning to see this at his time.
That's right. Marty, we could probably say the third, you might say, seminal truth or seminal aspect of what Luther saw was the very famous Latin sola scriptura. You know, Luther, he not only recovered the matter of justification by faith, right, but he also gave us an open Bible. That is major. That is really a big thing. I mean, he was fully convinced that what all that was needed for salvation was found in the Bible alone and nothing of Roman Catholicism. It's all in the Bible. He began to realize all the authorities, papal authorities, are subject to the teaching of the scriptures. In other words, it's not the teaching of the church, it's the teaching of the Bible. So it should not any longer be what the church said or Rome said, but what the Bible says. Even Luther wrote, right, that a simple layman, if just a simple, you know, layman, you know, not any clerical person, whatever, if he's armed with the scriptures, he is to be believed above a pope or a council without it. A simple layman armed with scriptures is to be believed above a pope or a council without it. For the sake of scripture, we should reject popes and councils. Of course, that was quite inflammatory to the Roman Catholic Church. But we have to realize prior to the Reformation, right, the Bible was locked up. It was shackled. It was imprisoned. You know, and nobody could get to it. Only the Pope could get to it or the priest could get to it, but Luther unlocked it.
So even at one time, the Bible was actually physically chained to the walls down in the monasteries.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Luther himself being a monk, he began to have access, but he was really burdened that all the common people could begin to read the Bible. And he did not agree with the teaching of the clergy that said that the common man, he couldn't understand or interpret the scriptures. Should be left only for the clergy. Mm-hmm. So Luther wanted to have the Bible available and opened and understood to any degree possible by all the common men.
Right.
So even to this day, we're thankful to Luther. No doubt the scriptures have been opened and understood to a much greater degree in the following centuries, but Luther did a very great thing in taking this initial step of releasing the Bible from the chains of Catholicism. And of course, with the opening of the Word comes the opening of the light.
Yeah.
And the more the Word began to be released, the more the light begins to shine. So this was Luther's burden, and he wanted to make the Bible available to the German people in their own language. So even when he was in isolation there at that fortress in Wartburg, he was working on the translation of the New Testament in the German language.
Right.
And he apparently completed his first draft during that year or so when he was in the fortress there. And later on, in 1534, he completed and published the entire German Bible. And this was really provided an open door for all the common people to begin to know the Word of God.
Really so. Marty, you know, a few years ago, a number of us got a tour of Luther's whole birthplace, his educational system that he was involved with, and we even got a tour of the castle at Wartburg, where in the room that he was isolated in, where he did all of his work to translate the Bible into the German language. So that was really quite something that we were able, you know, to see this actual room where he did this work 500 years ago. He was really burdened to get the Word of God into the hands of the common people and make the Bible an accessible Bible. Right. Of course, he not only made the Bible accessible, he wrote, you have the collected works of Luther, which are in many, many volumes. That was enhanced by the sovereign time there, where the printing press was invented by Gutenberg around the same time, and Luther was able to use the printing press, because before the time a Bible had to be copied by hand. Can you imagine how labor intensive that was? So the printing press by Gutenberg was very instrumental in spreading Luther's writings all over Europe, so that everybody now had access to the Bible, and people began to leave, you know, the Roman Catholic Church by droves. Then even former nuns, monks, they began to study the Word, stand for the truth. The children began to know the Scriptures better than some of the clergy, even some of the secular princes in Germany, right? They stood against Luther at that Edict of Worms, when Luther was denounced as a heretic. They stood against that and realized, hey, they were wrong. And they declared before the emperor and others that they would not consent nor adhere in any manner to anything that is contrary to God, to his holy word, to their conscience, and to the salvation of their souls. So in a sense, that, you might say, is the very source of this word Protestant, or those who protest. They were real, genuine protesters, or Protestants protesting against the word being locked up.
Mm-hmm. So Luther wrote this little poem, Bill, and I'd just like to read a stanza or two here, and just shows that Luther was really beginning to base all his confidence solely in the Word of God. He said, "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing." So I don't know if he put this to a tune or a hymn, but it's quite a good little poem. He said, "I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever." Wow. So you can really see his confidence was really in the Bible.
Right.
So this was a very great time at the time of the Reformation. Even Watchman Nee said, what Luther was doing here in opening the Bible, it really opened up and men began to see light. Men and women everywhere were enlightened about their salvation, and they declared that they would no longer trust in their own work or in the priest for their salvation, but would put their trust solely in God. Watchman Nee says, "This indeed was a great work of the Holy Spirit."
That's really so. Luther was a real age turner. Even Brother Lee made some comments, you know, during Brother Lee's lifetime. He mentioned one time that Luther stood up as an anti-testimony. You know, he was, of course, originally a priest in the Roman Catholic Church. He saw the errors and everything in the Roman Catholicism. They did everything completely contrary to the truth. But he rose up. Luther rose up and became that strong anti-testimony. He was a person. Luther read the Bible. He saw from the Bible, man's justified by faith, not by works. Then he joined. He not only received God's word, Marty, he joined himself to this word, just like the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament. He was a man of prayer. He would pray before God, pray over the word, and Luther was one who cared not for his own life, and this one was willing to be martyred for the Lord.
So no doubt he was a real age turner, and we are really thankful to his testimony and his stand and his release of this most basic truth, the matter of being justified by faith. Well, Bill, I think we'll stop here at this time, and hope all our listeners will continue with us. Next time, we're going to have a very interesting fellowship concerning what Martin Luther called his dearest, and that is his wife. We're going to have a little session on Katie Luther, who was a former nun. You know, Martin was a former monk, and he ended up getting married to a former nun. So we can tell the story of their marriage and their family life, which also had a great impact on all of Germany, and I think actually of many generations to come, to see the importance of living a normal Christian life. So anyway, I think we'll stop here, Bill.